Star Wars, The Last Command by Timothy Zahn. Continued. Cassette number 10, side 1. Go ahead and take the lightsaber. Reaching out with the force, Mara snatched it. Wondering idly what he would do if she tried some time to ignite the weapon first. She wasn't sure she could handle anything as small as a switch, but it'd be worth trying just to see him scramble away from the blade. And if, in the process, she happened to accidentally kill him. You will kill Luke Skywalker. She squeezed the lightsaber hard. Not yet, she told the voice firmly. I still need him. All right, she growled. What now? He didn't get a chance to answer. Behind him, the astromech droid suddenly started squealing excitedly. What? Solo demanded, his blaster already out of its holster. He says he's just noticed something worth investigating there to the side, the protocol droid translated, gesturing to his left. A group of vines, I believe he's saying, though I could be mistaken with all the acid damage. Come on, Chewie, let's check it out. Solo cut him off, getting to his feet and starting up the shallow slope of the creek bed. Skywalker caught Mara's eye. Come on, he said, and started off after them. There wasn't very far to go. Just inside the first row of trees, hidden from view by a bush, was another set of vines like the ones they'd had to occasionally cut through the last couple of days. Except that this group had already been cut. Cut and then bunched up out of the way like a pile of thick, tangled rope. I think that ends any discussion as to whether someone out there is helping us along, Calrissian said, studying one of the cut ends. I think you're right, Solo said. No predator would have bunched them up like this. The Wookiee rumbled something under his breath and pulled on the bush in front of the vines. To Mara's surprise, it came away from the ground without any effort at all. And wouldn't have bothered with camouflage either, Calrissian said, as the Wookiee turned it over. Knife cut, looks like, just like the vines. And like the clawbird from yesterday, Solo agreed grimly. Luke, we've been getting company. I've sensed some of the natives, Skywalker said, but they never seem to come very close before they leave again. He looked back downslope at the protocol droid waiting anxiously for them in the creek bed. You suppose it has anything to do with the droids? Solo snorted. You mean like on Endor when those fuzzball Ewoks thought 3PO was a god? Something like that, Skywalker nodded. They could be getting close enough to hear either 3PO or R2. Maybe. Solo looked around. When do they come around? Mostly around sundown, Skywalker said. So far, anyway. Well, next time they do, let me know, Solo said, jamming his blaster back into its holster and starting back down the slope to the creek bed. It's about time we all had a little chat together. Come on, let's get moving. The darkness was growing thicker, and the camp nearly put together for the night when the wisp of sensation came. Han, Luke called softly. They're here. Han nodded, tapping Lando on the back as he drew his blaster. How many? Luke focused his mind, working at separating the distinct parts out of the overall sensation. Looks like 5 or 6 of them coming in from that direction. He pointed to the side. Is that just in the first group? Mara asked. First group? Luke frowned, letting his focus open up again. She was right. There was a second group coming up behind the first. That's just the first group, he confirmed. Second group. I get 5 or 6 there, too. I'm not sure, but they might be a different species from the first. Han looked at Lando.
What do you think?
I don't like it, Lando said, fingering his blaster uneasily. Mara, how well do these species usually get along?
Not all that well, she said. There was some trade and other stuff going on when I was here, but there were also stories about long three-way wars between them and the human colonists.
Chewbacca growled a suggestion that the aliens might be joining forces against them. That's a fun thought, Han said. How about it, Luke? Luke strained, but it was no use. Sorry, he said. There's plenty of emotion there, but I don't have any basis for figuring out what kind.
They've stopped, Mara said, her face tight with concentration. Both groups.
Han grimaced. I guess this is it.
Lando,
Mara, you stay here and guard the camp. Luke, Chewie, let's go check them out. They headed up the rocky slope and into the forest, moving as quietly as possible among the bushes and dead leaves underfoot. They know we're coming yet, Han muttered over his shoulder. Luke stretched out with the force.
I can't tell, he said, but they don't seem to be coming any closer.
Chewbacca rumbled something Luke didn't catch.
Could be, Han said. It'd be pretty stupid to hold a council of war this close to their target, though.
And then, ahead and to their left, Luke caught a shadowy movement beside a thick tree trunk. Watch it, he warned, his lightsaber igniting with a snap hiss. In the green-white light from the blade, a small figure in a tight-fitting hooded garment could be seen as it ducked back behind the trunk. Barely getting out of the way, as Han's quick shot blew a sizable pit in one side of the trunk. Chewbacca's bowcaster bolt was a split second behind Han's, gouging out a section of the trunk on the other side. Through the erupting cloud of smoke and splinters, the figure could be seen briefly as it darted from the rapidly decreasing cover of its chosen tree toward another thicker trunk. Even as Han swung his blaster to track it, a strange warbling split the air, sounding like a dozen alien birds. And with a roar that was part recognition, part understanding, and part relief, Chewbacca swung the end of his bowcaster into Han's blaster, sending the shot wide of its intended target. Chewie, Han barked.
No, he's right, Luke cut him off. Suddenly, it had all come together for him, too.
You, stop. The order was unnecessary. The shadowy figure had already come to a halt, standing unprotected in the open, its hooded face shaded from the faint light of Luke's lightsaber. Luke took a step toward it. I'm Luke Skywalker, he said formally, brother of Leia Organa Solo, son of the Lord Darth Vader. Who are you?
I am Ekrikor Clan Bachtor, the gravelly Nogri voice replied. I greet you, son of Vader.
The clearing Ekrikor led them to was close, only 20 meters or so further along the vector Luke had started them on in the first place. The aliens were there, all right. Two different types, five of each, standing on the far side of a thick, fallen tree trunk. On the near side stood two more Nogri, in those camouflaged outfits of theirs with the hoods thrown back. Propped up on the log between the two sides was some sort of compact work light, giving off just enough of a glow for Han to pick out the details of the nearest aliens. It wasn't very encouraging. The group on the right were a head taller than the Nogri facing them, and maybe a head shorter than Han. Covered with lumpy plates, they looked more like walking rock piles than anything else. The group on the left were nearly as tall as Chewbacca, with four arms each, and a shiny, bluish crystal skin that reminded Han of the brownish thing they'd had to shoot off 3PO their first day here. "Friendly-looking bunch," he muttered to Luke, as their group moved toward the last line of trees between them and the clearing.
"They are the Mynirshi and Sadans," Ikrikor said. "They have been seeking to confront you."
"And you've been driving them off?" Luke asked.
"They sought to confront," the Nogri repeated. "We could not permit that."
They stopped just inside the clearing. A rustle ran through the aliens, one that didn't sound all that friendly.
"I get the feeling we aren't all that welcome," Han said.
"Luke?"
Beside him, he felt Luke shake his head.
"I still can't read anything solid," he said. "What's this all about, Ikrikor?"
"They have indicated they wish a conversation with us," the Nogri said. "Perhaps to decide whether they will seek to give us battle."
Han gave the aliens a quick once-over. They all seemed to be wearing knives, and there were a couple of bows in evidence, but he didn't see anything more advanced.
"They better hope they brought an army with them," he said.
"We don't want to fight at all if we can avoid it," Luke reproved him mildly.
"How are you going to communicate with them?"
"One of them learned a little of the Empire's basic when the storehouse was being built beneath the mountain," Ikrikor said, pointing to the miner standing closest to the worklight. "He will attempt to translate."
"We might be able to do a little better."
Luke raised his eyebrows at Han. "What do you think?"
"It's worth a try,"
Han agreed, pulling out his comlink.
It was about time 3PO earned his keep anyway.
"Lando?"
"Right here," Lando's voice came instantly. "You find the aliens?"
"Yeah, we found them," Han said. "Plus a surprise or two. Have Mara bring 3PO here. If she heads out the way we went, she'll run right into us."
"Got it," Lando said. "What about me?"
"I don't think this bunch will give us any trouble," Han said, giving the aliens another once-over. "You and R2 might as well stay there and keep an eye on the camp. Oh, and if you see some short guys with camouflage suits and lots of teeth, don't shoot. They're on our side."
"I'm glad," Lando said dryly. "I think. Anything else?"
Han looked at the groups of shadowy aliens, all of them staring straight back at him.
"Yeah, cross your fingers. We might be about to pick up some allies, or else a whole lot of trouble down the road."
"Right. Mara and 3PO are on their way. Good luck."
"Thanks."
Shutting off the comlink, Han returned it to his belt.
"They're coming," he told Luke.
"There is no need for them to guard your camp," Ikrikor said. "The Nogri will protect it."
"That's okay," Han said. "It's getting crowded enough here as it is."
He eyed Ikrikor.
"So I was right. We were followed in."
"Yes," Ikrikor said, bowing his head. "And for that deception, I beg your forgiveness, consort of the Lady Vader. I and others did not feel it entirely honorable, but Kachmeim Clan Echmir wished our presence to be kept hidden from you."
"Why?"
Ikrikor bowed again.
"Kachmeim Clan Echmir felt hostility from you in the Lady Vader's suite," he said. "He believed you would not willingly accept a guard of Nogri to accompany you."
Han looked at Luke, caught the kid's halfway try at hiding a grin.
"Well, next time you see Kachmeim, you tell him that I stopped passing up free help years ago," he told Ikrikor.
"But as long as we're discussing hostility, you can knock off that consort of the Lady Vader stuff. Call me Han, or Solo, or Captain, or practically anything else."
"Han Clan Solo, maybe," Luke murmured.
Ekrikor brightened.
That is good, he said. We beg your forgiveness, Han Clan Solo.
Han looked at Luke. I think you've been adopted, Luke said, fighting that grin again. Yeah, Han said. Thanks, a lot. A little rapport never hurts, Luke pointed out. Remember Endor. I'm not likely to forget, Han growled, feeling his lip twist. Sure, the little fuzzballs there had done their bit in that final battle against the second Death Star. That didn't change the fact that being made part of an Ewok tribe was one of the more ridiculous things he'd ever had to go through. Still, the Ewoks had overwhelmed the Imperial troops by sheer weight of numbers. The Nogri, on the other hand...
How many of you are there here? He asked Ekrikor.
There are eight, the other replied. Two each have traveled before, after, and on either side of you during your journey.
Han nodded, feeling a grudging trickle of unwilling respect for these things. Eight of them, silently killing or driving away predators and natives, day and night both. And still finding time on top of it to clear their path of nuisances like clawbirds and vine snakes. He looked down at Ekrikor. No, the adoption process didn't feel quite so ridiculous this time around. From somewhere behind them came a familiar shuffling sound. Han turned, and a moment later the equally familiar golden figure of 3PO traipsed into view. Beside him, and a half step behind, was Mara, blaster in hand.
Master Luke, 3PO called. His voice, its usual mixture of relieved and anxious and just plain prissy.
Over here, 3PO, Luke called back. Think you can do some translation for us?
I'll do my best, the droid said. As you know, I am fluent in over 6 million forms of communicate.
I see you found the natives, Mara cut him off, giving the group by the log a quick survey as she and 3PO stepped into the clearing. Her eyes fell on Ekrikor. And a little surprise, too, she added, her blaster quietly shifting its aim toward the Nogri. It's all right. He's a friend, Luke assured her, reaching toward her blaster.
I don't think so, Mara said,
twitching the weapon to the side out of his reach. They're Nogri. They work for Thrawn.
We serve him no longer, Ekrikor told her.
That's true, Mara. They don't, Luke said.
Maybe,
Mara said. She still wasn't happy about it. But at least her blaster wasn't pointed exactly at Ekrikor anymore. Across the clearing, the Mynirsch nearest the log pulled what seemed to be a bleached white stuffed clawbird from a shoulder pouch. Speaking inaudibly under his breath, he laid it in front of him beside the worklight. What's that? Han asked. Lunch?
It is called a Satna Chaka, Ekrikor said. It is a bond of peace while this meeting lasts. They are ready to begin. You, 3PO droid, come with me.
Of course,
3PO said, not sounding exactly thrilled by the whole arrangement.
Master Luke?
I'll come with you, Luke soothed. And, Chewie, you stay here. No argument from me, Han said. With a clearly reluctant 3PO in tow, Luke and the Nogri headed toward the log. The head Mynirsch raised its upper two hands over his head, palm inwards.
Bidisi Chara, he said, his voice surprisingly melodious. Launu Beirema Duchnu Feiri.
He announces the arrival of the strangers, 3PO said precisely. Presumably, that refers to us. He fears, however, that we will bring danger and trouble again to his people.
Beside Han, Chewbacca rumbled a sarcastic comment. No, they're not much for small talk, Han agreed. Not much for diplomacy, either.
We bring hope to your people, the chief Nogri countered. If you let us pass, we will free you from the domination of the Empire.
3PO translated the melodious Mynirshi words, still coming out prissy, in Han's opinion. One of the lumpy Sadans made a chopping gesture and said something that sounded like a faint and distant scream with consonants scattered around in it.
He says that the Sadan people have long memories, 3PO translated. Apparently, deliverers have come before, but nothing has ever changed.
Welcome to the real world, Han muttered. Luke threw a look at him over his shoulder. Ask him to explain, 3PO, he told the droid. 3PO complied, quiet screaming back at the Sadan, and then throwing in a Mynirshi translation, too, just to show he could do it. The Sadan's answer went on for several minutes, and Han's ears were starting to hurt by the time he was done.
Well,
3PO said, tilting his head and settling into the professor mode Han had always hated.
There are many details, but I will pass those by for now,
he added hastily, probably at a look from one of the Nogri.
The humans who came as colonists were the first invaders. They drove the native peoples from some of their lands, and were stopped only when their lightning bows and metal birds, those are their terms, of course, began to fail. Much later came the Empire, who, as we know, built into the Forbidden Mountain. They enslaved many of the native peoples to help on the project, and drove others from their lands. After the builders left, came someone who called himself the Guardian, and he, too, sought control over the native peoples. Finally, the one who called himself the Jedi Master came, and in a battle that lit up the sky, he defeated the Guardian. For a time, the native peoples thought they might be freed, but the Jedi Master brought humans and native peoples to himself and forced them to live together beneath the shadow of the Forbidden Mountain. Finally, the Empire has returned.
3PO tilted his head back again.
As you can see, Master Luke, we are merely the last in a long line of invaders.
Except that we're not invaders, Luke said. We're here to free them from the rule of the Empire.
I understand that, Master Luke.
I know you do, Luke interrupted the droid. Tell them that.
Oh, yes, of course.
He started into his translation. You ask me, I don't think they've had it all that bad, Han muttered to Chewbacca. The Empire took whole planets away from some people.
Primitives always have this reaction to visitors, Mara said. They usually have long memories, too.
Yeah, maybe.
You suppose that Jedi Master they were talking about was your pal, Kabalf?
Who else? Mara said grimly.
This must be where Thrawn found him.
Han felt his stomach tighten. You think he's here now?
I don't sense anything, Mara said slowly. Doesn't mean he can't come back.
The head Mynirsh was talking again. Han let his gaze drift around the clearing. Were there other Mynirshi and Sadans out there keeping an eye on the big debate? Luke hadn't said anything about backups, but they'd have to be crazy not to have them somewhere nearby. Unless Ekrikor's pals had already taken care of them. If this didn't work, it could turn out to be handy having the Nogri around. The Mynirsh finished its speech.
I'm sorry, Master Luke, 3PO apologized. They say they have no reason to assume we are any different than all those they have already spoken of.
I understand their fears, Luke nodded. Ask them how we can prove our good intentions. 3PO started to translate, and as he did so, a hard Wookiee elbow jabbed into Han's shoulder.
What?
Han asked. Chewbacca nodded toward his left, his bowcaster already up and tracking. Han followed the movement with his eyes.
Uh-oh. What is it?
Mara demanded. Han opened his mouth. Then, suddenly, there wasn't time to tell her. The wiry predator Chewbacca had spotted slinking through the tree branches had stopped slinking and was coiling itself to spring at the discussion group. Look out, he snapped instead, bringing his blaster up. Chewbacca was faster. With a Wookiee hunter's roar, he fired, the bowcaster bolt slicing the predator nearly in half. It fell off its perch, crunching into the dead leaves, and lay still. And over by the log, the whole group of Manirshi snarled. Watch it, Chewie, Han warned, shifting his aim toward the aliens.
That might have been a mistake, Mara said tensely. You're not supposed to fire weapons at a truce conference.
You're not supposed to let the conference get eaten, either, Han retorted. Beside the Manirshi, the five Sedans had started to shake. And he hoped Ekrikor's pals had the rest of the area covered. 3PO, tell them.
Certainly, Captain Solo,
3PO said, sounding about as nervous as Han felt.
Mulan Ser.
The head Minersh cut him off with a chopping motion of its two left arms. You, he warbled in passable basic, jabbing all four hands at Han.
He have lightning bow.
Han frowned at him. Of course Chewbacca had a weapon. So did all the rest of them. He glanced up at the Wookiee, and suddenly he understood. Yes, he has, he told the Minersh, lowering his blaster. He's our friend. We don't keep slaves like the Empire did. 3PO started into his translation. But the Minersh was already jabbering away to his friends.
Nice work, Mara murmured. I hadn't thought of that. But you're right. The last Wookiees they saw here would have been Imperial slaves.
Han nodded. Let's hope it makes a difference. The discussion ran on for a few more minutes, mostly between the Minershi and the Sedans. 3PO tried for a while to keep up a running translation, but it quickly degenerated into not much more than a reporting of the highlights. The Minershi apparently were starting to think this was their chance to get rid of the oppression of first the Empire and then the Jedi Master himself. The Sedans didn't like the Imperials any more than the Minershi, but the thought of facing up to Kabauth was making them skittish. We aren't asking you to fight alongside us, Luke told them when he was finally able to get their attention back. Our battle is our own, and we will handle it ourselves. All we ask is your permission to travel through your territory to the Forbidden Mountain, and your assurance that you won't betray us to the Empire. 3PO did his double translation, and Han braced himself for another argument. But there wasn't one. The head Minersh raised his upper hands again, and with his lower hands picked up the bleached clawbird and offered it to Luke.
I believe he is offering you safe conduct, Master Luke,
3PO said helpfully.
Though I could be wrong. Their dialect has survived relatively intact, but gestures and movements are often...
Tell him thank you, Luke said, nodding as he accepted the clawbird. Tell him we accept their hospitality, and that they won't be sorry they helped us. General Covell, the militarily precise voice came over the intercom from the shuttle cockpit. We should be on the surface in just a few more minutes. Acknowledged, Covell said. He keyed the intercom off and turned to the shuttle's only other passenger. We're almost there, he said.
Yes, I heard,
Cabal said, his amusement echoing through his voice and through Covell's mind.
Tell me, General Covell, are we at the end of our voyage or at the beginning?
The beginning, of course, Covell told him. The voyage we have set upon will have no end.
And what of Grand Admiral Thrawn?
Covell felt a frown crease his forehead. He hadn't heard this question before, at least not said this particular way. But even as he hesitated, the answer came soothingly into his thoughts, as all answers did now. It's the beginning of Grand Admiral Thrawn's ending, he said. Cabauth laughed softly, the amusement rippling pleasantly through Covell's mind. Covell thought about asking what was funny, but it was easier and far more agreeable to just sit back and enjoy the laughter. And anyway, he knew perfectly well what it was that was funny.
You do, don't you?
Cabauth agreed, shaking his head.
Ah, General, it's so very ironic, isn't it? From the very beginning, from that first meeting in my city, Grand Admiral Thrawn has had the answer within his grasp. And yet, even now, he is as far from understanding as he was then.
Is it about power, Master Cabauth? Covell asked. This was a familiar topic, and even without the prompting in his mind, he would have remembered his lines.
It is indeed, General Covell, Cabauth said gravely. I told him at the very beginning that true power didn't lie in the conquering of distant worlds, or in battles and war and the crushing of faceless rebellions.
He smiled, his eyes glittering brightly in Covell's mind.
No, General Covell, he said softly. This is true power. Holding another's life in the palm of your hand, having the power to choose his path and his thoughts and his feelings, to rule his life and decree his death.
Slowly, theatrically, Cabauth held out his hand, palm upward.
To command his soul.
Something not even the Emperor ever understood, Covell reminded him. Another ripple of pleasure rolled through Covell's mind. It was so satisfying to see the master enjoying his game.
Not even the Emperor,
Cabauth agreed, his eyes and thoughts drifting far away.
He, like the Grand Admiral, saw power only as how far outside himself he could reach. And it destroyed him, as I could have told him it would. For if he'd truly commanded Vader...
He shook his head.
In many ways, he was a fool. But perhaps it was not his destiny to be otherwise. Perhaps it was the will of the universe that I, and I alone, would understand. For only I have both the strength and the will to grasp hold of this power. The first, but not the last.
Covell nodded, swallowing against a dry throat. It was not pleasant when Cabauth left him like this, even for a little bit. Especially not when there was this strange loneliness along with it. But, of course, the master knew that.
Do you ache with my loneliness, General Covell?
He said, warming Covell's mind with another smile.
Yes, of course you do. But be patient. The time is coming when we shall be many. And when that time is here, we will never be lonely again. Observe.
He felt the distant sense as he did all others now,
filtered and focused and structured through the Master's perfect mind.
You see, I was right,
Cabal said, reaching out to examine that sense.
They are here, Skywalker and Jade both.
He smiled at Covell.
They will be the first, General Covell, the first of our many. For they will come to me, and when I have shown to them the true power, they will understand and will join us.
His eyes drifted away again.
Jade will be first, I think, he added thoughtfully. Skywalker has resisted once and will resist again. But the key to his soul is even now waiting for me in the mountain below. But Jade is another matter. I have seen her in my meditations, have seen her coming to me and kneeling at my feet. She will be mine, and Skywalker will follow, one way or another.
He smiled again. Covell smiled back, pleased at the Master's own pleasure, and by the thought of others who would be there to warm his mind. And then, without any warning, it all went dark. Not loneliness, not the way it had been, but a sort of emptiness. By and by, he felt his head being roughly lifted by his chin. Kabaoth was there, in a way, staring into his eyes.
General Covell,
the Master's voice thundered. Thundered strangely, too. Covell could hear it, but it wasn't really there. Not like it should have been.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Covell said. His own voice sounded strange, too. He looked past Cabal's face to the interesting pattern of lines on the shuttle bulkhead. He felt himself being shaken.
Look at me, Cabal demanded.
Covell did so. That was odd, too, because he could see the Master, but he wasn't really there. Are you still there? The Master's face changed. Something, was it called a smile, came across it.
Yes, General, I am here, the distant voice said. I no longer touch your mind, but I am still your Master. You will continue to obey me.
Obey? An odd concept, Covell thought. Not like simply doing what was natural. Obey?
You will do as I tell you, Cabal said. I will give you things to say, and you will repeat every word.
All right, Covell said. If I do that, will you come back?
I will, the Master promised. Despite Grand Admiral Thrawn's treachery. With your obedience, with you doing what I tell you, we will together destroy his betrayal of us, and then we will never be apart again.
The emptiness will be gone?
Yes, but only if you do what I say.
The other men came a little later. The Master stayed at his side the whole time, and he said all the words the Master told him to say. They all went somewhere, and then the men left, and the Master left, too. He stared off across the place they'd left him in, watching the patterns of lines and listening to the emptiness all around him. Eventually, he fell asleep. A strange sort of bird call warbled off in the distance, and instantly the background crackle of insects and scuttling animals ceased. But apparently there was no immediate danger, and a minute later the nighttime sounds and activity resumed. Shifting her position against her chosen tree trunk, Mara eased her aching back muscles and wished this whole thing was over.
There is no need for you to stay awake,
a soft Nogri voice said at her shoulder.
We will guard.
Thanks, Mara said shortly. If it's all the same to you, I'll do my job.
The Nogri was silent a moment.
You still do not trust us, do you?
Actually, she hadn't thought all that much about it one way or the other. Skywalker trusts you, she said. Isn't that good enough?
It is not approval we seek, the Nogri told her. Only the chance to repay our debt.
She shrugged. They'd protected the camp. They'd tackled the always tricky job of first contact with the Mynirshi and Sedans, and now here they were protecting the camp again.
If it's a debt to the New Republic, I'd say you're doing a pretty good job of it, she conceded. You finally figured out Thrawn and the Empire had been stringing you along?
There was a quiet click, like needle teeth coming together.
You knew about that?
I heard rumors, Mara said, recognizing how potentially dangerous this ground was, but not really caring. More like jokes, really. I never knew how much of it was true.
Most likely all of it, the Nogri said calmly. Yes, I can see how our lives and deaths could be amusing to our enslavers. We will convince them otherwise.
No white-hot rage, no fanatical hatred. Just a simple, icy determination. About as dangerous as you could get.
How are you going to do that? She asked.
When the time is right, the Nogri will turn upon their enslavers. Some on Imperial worlds, some on transporting ships. And five groups will come here.
Mara frowned.
You knew about Wayland?
Not until you led us here, the other said. But we know now. We have sent the location to those waiting at Coruscant. By now, they will have passed the word on to others.
Mara snorted quietly.
You have a lot of confidence in it, don't you?
Our missions complement each other, the Nogri assured her,
his gravelly mewing somehow sounding grimmer.
You have set for yourselves the task of destroying the cloning facility. With the help of the Son of Vader, we do not doubt you will succeed. For ourselves, the Nogri have chosen the task of eliminating every last reminder of the Emperor's presence on Wayland.
Probably the last relics of the Emperor's presence anywhere. Mara turned that idea over in her mind, wondering why it didn't seem to grieve or anger her. Probably she was just tired.
Sounds like a big project, she said instead. Who is this son of Vader you're expecting to show up and help us?
There was a brief silence.
The son of Vader is already with you, the Nogri said, sounding puzzled. You serve him. As do we.
This book is continued at this point on the other side of this cassette. Please reverse or turn the cassette over now.